Dr. Ellen Waller is an active member of the Philadelphia Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition, and she also serves as co-chair of the Religion Subcommittee. Waller explains what human trafficking is all about.
Human trafficking is federally defined as force, fraud, or coercion of persons for either the purposes of commercial sex or labor. One of the big issues is we all know that there's this great demand for cheap free, sadly, in our society. And one of the sad realities is that people have taken this crime up as just like the new thing, or not new thing to do. It's been going on forever. But what's real is that people are forced to either work for free or for very, very little. They're held oftentimes in less than desirable conditions. Human trafficking for many has been considered modern day slavery, and happens all over the globe. One of the more recent things is people understanding that it happens right here in the United States as well. Our young African American brown and black girls in particular are significantly at risk because they tend to prey, traffickers tend to prey on the vulnerable. And lots of our children would fall into that category.
Wow. So when we talk prevention, how can this be prevented? And if it starts with children, what can parents do to prevent this from happening to their child?
Awareness is the biggest key. You know, we tend to think of ourselves as a ultra-evolved society. And the sad reality is that we find ourselves being as vulnerable to the issue of trafficking as for people in third world countries. So one of the big things that parents can do is to make sure that A, they are aware, and B, that they make their children aware. It's not okay for a 14, 15, 16-year-old girl to have a 19, 20, 25-year-old boyfriend. It's not okay for our kids to be posting on social media their whereabouts, what they have on. You know, we've got this new thing of children sending sexually provocative pictures and things of that nature. Those are the kind of things that make our children vulnerable. And the sad reality is we as parents don't always know that, but also don't always think about it in that way. And we've got to get to the place where we're being very clear and focused about how we are raising our children, how we are helping them to understand the world that we live in, and being just focused on living in a way that people are protected.
Good information. So, Dr. Waller, tell me about your anti-human trafficking ministry, She's My Sister.
She's My Sister is the anti-human trafficking ministry of the Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church. We are focused in three ways: on advocacy, awareness, and outreach. We spend lots of time raising awareness in the community about the issue of human trafficking. We are partnered with the Salvation Army of Greater Philadelphia, and in that partnership, we helped us, we've been raising funds for a transition home that we're trying to have here in Philadelphia for young ladies who have been victimized by human trafficking and who are exiting the Child Protective Services system. So what the sad thing is that Child Protective Services ends at a certain age, and these young ladies are kind of forced to figure it out on their own after it's over. And again, it's a sad thing, but that's the way it works. We find ourselves not being able to find appropriate housing for these young women, and our ministry partners with the Greater Salvation Army to find appropriate housing. And what we're looking to do is to develop places where, a home specifically, where these young ladies can go and thrive. The home will be a trauma-informed transitional housing place for them, 3 to 5 years, where they will be guaranteed a home. We're going to make sure that each of the young ladies has their own space, has their own things, because particularly coming out of the life, that is not always the case. They've been held and controlled in a way that they haven't been able to make choices for themselves. And so what we're looking to do is to help this Greater Salvation Army of Philadelphia to provide this service and home for them. So that's the thing that we're raising funds for. We're not raising funds for the church. Our focus is really on that. The other thing by way of advocacy that we do is we stay abreast of all of the legislative issues that are going on.
Okay,
and then the last thing is outreach. We participate with the Greater Salvation Army's New Day to Stop Trafficking Drop-In Center program, where we are providing volunteerism at a local drop-in center where women who have been commercially sexually exploited can come off of the street. They can find safe housing. Not safe housing, a safe space where, you know, they could rest, they can wash their clothing, they can be provided with case management through the Salvation Army, and really just get a break from their life on the street. The ministry at that location, we're not proselytizing. What we're doing is really trying to find a space where the young women can get off of the street and begin to get some help and begin to make decisions about moving in a direction of leaving the life.
Now, do you think that there's not much attention paid to human trafficking because some people think that it's something that's happening overseas or like in another country?
I think two things. I believe, yes, that to be correct, but I also believe that we don't pay attention to the issue of human trafficking because we think of the issue of commercial sexual exploitation as prostitution. And so oftentimes our initial thought is those women want to do that. They want to be out there. They're doing this because this is what they want to do. And that's unfortunately a misnomer. And then the thing that often keeps people from getting real help in our society. We've kind of decided, you know, it's those folk who are just doing what they do, doing what they want to do. One of the big issues that I have with raising awareness is when we watch films like that, so you watch Cage No More, you watch Taken, you watch films of that nature, typically the female protagonist is a little tiny blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl who is very easily viewed in a sympathetic way. And so we tend to think, oh, those poor little girls. But when people encounter or understand or learn that brown and black girls are being victimized, it usually shifts to those fast black girls, those fast brown girls. They're out there doing this because that's who they are. That's what they want. What's real is this isn't something new. As you know well, how black women are portrayed in society in general, one of the realities is, you know, Patricia Hill Collins wrote a book called, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the book, oh, Black Feminist Thought. And she looks at all of the ways in which black women have been objectified and demoralized over the years. So you have the mammy, you have, you know, the exotic mulatto. You have all of these ways in which we have been viewed as women of color, and in ways that have been disparaging and in ways that have stripped us of dignity and also stripped people of recognizing the need to look at black women as women who deserve to be covered, protected, and revered and honored and so forth, just like women of all other races.
So there's like a double standard there.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. If you suspect that there is human trafficking going on in your neighborhood, what do you do and where do you go to get some type of help for the individual that you think is being trafficked?
There's actually a hotline number. It's the National Human Trafficking Resource Center. It's run by Polaris Project out of D.C., Washington, D.C., and that hotline number is 888-373-7888. You can see something that you know doesn't look right. You know how we've got all those campaigns on the buses and things of that nature, you know, see something, say something. But if you see something that doesn't look right, that doesn't set right with you, that looks like maybe this is probably not kosher. I also encourage people to follow their gut, because you can make a call to Polaris Project. You can place a call to the hotline without having 100% assurity that that's what you're really seeing. They will figure it out. It's always better to make the call than not, because when you make the call, you could be saving a life.
Okay, wonderful. So tell me about a success story when we talk about human trafficking in the Philadelphia area.
We have a few success stories. One of the really neat things is that the way that our work at the Drop-In Center, that's the partnership with the Salvation Army at New Day, we see we're seeing 60 women in a day who are coming into the drop-in. And success stories become those who choose to come off of the street, who will then say, I do want help. I do want a way out. Yes, sign me up for case management. Help me get off of the street. So we've had many opportunities to see success in that way, where women have chosen to leave the street and leave their pimp to come into a safer relationship in shelters and things of that nature. We've had young ladies who have come through. There's a family court program here that is run by Judge Lori Dumas, who's an African-American woman, the only court in the state of Pennsylvania that addresses the issue of human trafficking with minors who are part of the Child Protective Services system. And so Judge Dumas has had numerous success stories, young ladies who've been trafficked. These are minors and are part of our system and have come out and have, you know, gone on to live lives that are fruitful, the beginnings of fruitful lives, and gotten to the place where they've gotten away from their traffickers, from their pimps, and have begun to live in a way where they're safe and they're free and they're productive and going to school and really making a difference in their lives. And those are the kind of successes that we are regularly seeing and excited about.
Do you know whether or not there are any statistics out there that would say, like, the percentage of black or black and brown girls?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. The statistics are really overwhelming and alarming when you begin to think about how many children in the foster care system there are, how many of them are African American or children of color. And so when you start thinking about the numbers of kids who are being exploited, it's really alarming. There are some statistics out of the Northern California area where the numbers of arrests for young people, young women in particular, who are girls of color, are almost triple, if not quadruple, the numbers of arrests of Caucasian girls who are arrested or picked up. And again, the media hasn't necessarily been all that helpful in helping us to look at the issue from the lens of all girls being treated the same. Because again, the movies that we've seen have been these little tiny blonde hair, blue eyed or white girls. So not, you know, the taken girl isn't blonde, blue eyed. She's actually dark haired, but she's a young Caucasian girl. And our girls, who don't always fit that same picture, when they get picked up, it's not taken as, oh my God, this poor child. It's this fast girl. In New York City recently, there was an alarming number of young ladies who have gone missing from the same community. And initially, as the reports were coming in and people were being made aware, nobody viewed it as a possible trafficking situation. And again, it's the unfortunate thing, because we are how we're viewed in society, I believe, still hinders how lives can be changed, because we're paying attention differently to brown and black. And one of the things that I think people also need to, and it's difficult to wrap your head around, but one of the things that I think becomes important that people understand is that no one in their right mind really goes out to sell themselves. Mm-hmm. And so most, even adult women, are probably victims of either, there's 70% of persons involved in specifically commercial sexual exploitation who were victimized as children by molestation. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about those kinds of numbers, that's grooming, that's making folk ripe for trafficking. Mm-hmm. But we don't think about it that way.
Yeah.
And so when we start thinking about the issue, we have to move away from the mindset of the oldest profession in the world and move toward thinking of people and vulnerabilities as real, so that we don't find ourselves writing off certain populations based on the color of their skin and then running to protect others on that same basis.
That's Dr. Ellen Waller, member of the Philadelphia Anti-Human Trafficking Coalition. Danielle Smith, AURN.com.